It's raining. It's beginning to rain. Acts 14:17. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good. He gave us rain from heaven and fruitful season, filling our hearts with food and gladness. You ever been caught out in the rain? It's not a pleasant feeling. But the rain gives us so many things. He tells us here it fills our hearts with food, and the rain fills our hearts with gladness as we watch the springtime come and the trees start to bloom and the grass start to grow and everything's starting to come back alive, right? We get these juicy, sweet watermelons. Oh man, they're so good. Cantaloupes and stuff. This captures that rain in this beautiful green shell. And he turns it into a summer tradition that is remembered fondly for generations. My grandfather retired at 60, and he sold his house and bought some land. He had already bought the land across from my uncle and Boone's mill. And he had spent so much time, you know, away from him, he wanted to spend that time up closer to his son. He had other children, of course. But he wanted to move down there, and they were in this little apartment before they were going to build their house. And unfortunately, he died before that happened. He died at 62. But I remember us sitting out there, and it was a big thing to get that watermelon and cut it up and share it with us, you know, put a little salt on it and sit out. And it did. For a moment, everything was wonderful. And it sticks in your mind. And you'll remember this forever. And then so you'll have your child and you'll sit outside and have the watermelon. Now they have the seedless watermelons. And Melissa, she whacks that thing up and cuts it up in these little cubes. And it's like seconds later. You know, and then so we use our fork. We don't get it all over ourselves. Nowhere near as fun, but still tastes just as good, you know. And all of this comes because of the rain, because God lets the rain come down upon us. We jump into a pool on a hot day. It cools off our skin so quickly that it takes our breath away. And we just smile in relief. We come up out of the water and push the hair out of our face. And the water, it's just, you feel so good. Once you've jumped in, it just literally takes your breath away and you just smile, right? You just smile. And all this because of the physical rain that comes. I dare say that that a lot of the joys that we have in our life wouldn't exist if we didn't have the rain that God sends from heaven. Acts 28:2. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. That rain that comes and cools us off and gives life and gives us this fruit. Larry loves fruit. He says that in the new heaven and new earth, he says that it'd be a peach as big as a soccer ball, and he pulls it off and he goes, mwah. You know? He just can't wait, he says. Pulling that peach off, and all of this that we associate here is because of the rain. It fills that fruit up, and it's wonderful. But then there's a time when the rain isn't so wonderful. It's freezing cold outside, you know. And I watch my dog. I got a little Pomeranian, and she goes outside and freezing cold in the middle of the night, and go outside with it raining. And she's got to walk right out there and pee in the grass. And could you imagine? I mean, she's got the hair, but it still hits her. Could you imagine if we had to do that in the middle of the night, 2:00 in the morning, if we had to go out there and we had our backs hunched over and the rain was hitting us, how miserable that would be? My great-grandfather, I remember, it was up there off of, across from the Holiday Inn on 419. It's where the Crest Star building is right now. We used to be Blockbuster Music, and then there was a Crestar. It was a bank right there. Anyway, they owned that property back there. And I remember going to their house, and we would go down, and it had a circular driveway, and he had these makeshift buildings that was out of wood. One was taller than the other or whatever. One of them was an outhouse. And do you know that that man, and even when they had indoor plumbing and all that, he still would go outside and use that outhouse. He was crazy. That's what he did. I remember he'd take me over there, he'd show me what it was. I'm like, ew. But that's what he would do. But see, there's a time when that wonderful rain that comes into our life, it's not so pleasant, right? It's just not so pleasant. With all the wonderful things that rain brings, it also brings us to a place where we wish it would just stop forever. You know, if you've ever worked out in the rain, and prior to the job I have now, I didn't. I was like anybody else. If it was raining, I'd try to get in and out of the rain quick. If it was hot, I'd try to get inside and cool off when I could. And your body adapts to many things. And so when it's real hot outside, you're wearing a hard hat that's got a band that goes across here, and it gets so wet that the water still comes down to your face. And you start to sweat, and everything, all the dust and everything out there just sticks to you, right? I mean, it's just, you get so hot, it's just miserable. And then the rain comes, and you're like, oh, and you take off your hard hat, and the rain comes down, and get your hair wet, and the heat releases, and you wipe off some of that dust and all, and then the rain stops. And you know what comes after the rain on a hot day? Yep, humidity. It is not your friend. Oh my gosh. When we would work out building the tracks, and the sun would come out, they would say, here comes the pain. It would just beat down on you, and after the rain, it would just get so thick you would think you couldn't breathe. And you get so thirsty, and you drink water after water after water, and it just never would touch your thirst. You were just so thirsty, so hot. If that's not bad enough, when it's cold. And so when it's hot, you know when it rains, you can wear short sleeve, you cut off the rain suit here so that the water hits your arm and the wind blows, and it's not so bad. But when it's cold, you have to have a jacket on, and then you have your rain suit over top of that, because you dress in layers to accommodate the cold. One piece, no matter how warm, is not going to do it. You dress in layers, and then your body builds up a little heat. You can cut down on those layers. But anyway, you got to have a jacket on, and you got the raincoat on, and then the rain is keeping it off of you because it's so cold. But then you start to sweat. And then you start to sweat, and you're moving around so much that there's breaks in it, and the water's getting through anyway. So you're getting cold and wet, and you're sweating at the same time. I really don't know which is worse, the hot or the cold. But I can tell you one thing. You do not know how it feels to work outside in 35-degree weather where water's not freezing yet, and it is pouring down rain. I mean, it's just dumping buckets, and you're working like it's not raining. I can't tell you what that's like between the hot and the cold, being out in the rain. Based on the job that I used to have when it was raining, I was limited exposure out there. But when you got to be out there in it, so the rain can either be a good thing or it can be a bad thing, right? The rain cools you off, it gives us things, but then there's repercussions from the rain and the heat, the real hot days, and that sun comes out, it gets so humid. And could you imagine that when you're working out in that pouring down rain, that it's just dumping and it's just running off your hard hat, and your glasses are fogging up, and it's just miserable. But if God came to you in that moment and said to you, ask for me what you want, and it will be done. Pouring down the rain. What do you think my first thought would be? Anybody? Stop raining. Oh, God, if you would just make it stop raining. Acts 8:1. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. It's amazing we were talking about that this morning. The church was all happy, going about its day, and things started getting kind of tough, but they didn't leave the sanctity and the safety of their home. It was Jerusalem. It was where they knew they were. It was surrounded by Jews, and they were it was their own countrymen, and they were working with what they had, right? Put your raincoat on, leave it off if it's raining. It's not raining so hard. It's a hassle to have it on. You'll get hot. You'd just rather get wet. You know, they were just working with what they had. Except this great persecution started to come upon them. You see, with so much joy that the rain brings, think of the idea of the church. With so much joy that the church brings. Right? I mean, are you happy being a Christian? There's things that could happen in your life, and if you weren't a Christian, you'd have no hope. You'd have no hope that things would get better. You would have no hope that there would be another day that would come that would be bright. You would just have whatever this world would throw at you. But being a Christian, you have hope. With so much joy that the church brings, there are times when being in the rain, being in church, will bring severely unwanted reactions. Do you think those people there in Jerusalem, when the persecution came down upon them, you know one of the reasons why the persecution came? One of the reasons was because those people, instead of being persecuted, they would leave the church and they would go back to Judaism, or they'd go back into the world. They would stop talking about the name of Christ. So see, sometimes being a Christian would bring about unwanted repercussions. Oh, you're one of them. Remember Peter? You're one of them. He said, no, I'm not. But you are one of them. Your daddy's a preacher, right? Oh, you're something. You think you're something, don't you? You see, there's times when being in the church brings about unwanted persecutions. Just like when being in the rain, with all the joy that it brings, there are times that it's not so joyful for the rain to come. But just like physical rain, it's necessary for us to go through them. The rain comes when the farmer is out in the field. And he's doing this, and then the crop is coming. He knows that rain is going to produce something that he's trying to achieve. When you're in the church and things start to happen, and these persecutions come upon us, understand that there are things that will grow from this persecutions. Just like in the rain and in the nasty weather, there is something that's going to grow from that. It was the persecution of Stephen that we see was kind of the catalyst here that caused the church to spread to the Gentile world. Paul came down upon Stephen, killed Stephen, and the church got scared. And they started to disperse. They started to run out into the world. They started to carry the message. Here they were scared here of the rain, but they went over here and the rain was more enjoyable. They went out, they started telling people about the Lord, and people started coming. They started setting up church. And this dispersion that happened, there were churches that were set up. But see, Jesus had told them to do this. In Acts 1:8, if you look back, he told them to go, "You will be my witnesses." In Judea and in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the world. And that ends of the world was the Gentile world. But they had not moved. So a little rain came to make them move just a little bit quicker. Right? Get them to hurry up so they can get done before the rain comes. Paul, when he severely chastised the churches, look at his letters. Look at how he talked to the churches. Look at how he told people what they were doing to him and that they wanted to do to the churches. Remember, he said, Alexander the coppersmith, be wary of him. He did me great harm. Oh, and today, you know, we bring out somebody's name. Watch so-and-so, if they were to drop into your congregation, they're not interested in peace. You see, these are the kind of things that Paul wrote about. And he chastised the church because these people were not doing as they were supposed to be doing. They weren't growing. They weren't planting. They weren't doing anything. They weren't moving along where God had wanted them to be. Paul would come visit them, and he would see them as a young church, and then he'd go over here and do this sort of stuff, and then he would either go back to the church, or he'd hear from his faithful brethren, people like Timothy and Titus, he would hear that these people weren't doing anything. And so he'd write them letters to ask, basically, what's your problem? You serve a living God that died for you, and you're just going to sit there? Paul felt bad when he wrote these letters being so hard. But the results that came from that rain, the results that came from that type of harshness, he was amazed at the results that came from such truth. You look at 2 Corinthians 7, chapter 7, verses 8 through 11 to get the context there. He said, I can't believe what vindication, what stamina, what justification, what heart that was developed because of the letters that I wrote. When I wrote them to you, I was sorry that I did that. But then I looked at how it made you grow. I was sorry to ask you to stand out there in that pouring down rain. But I see all the growth that came from you, that flower, that tree that was out in the rain. I see how deep your roots have gotten. I see how strong and beautiful you've become. Am I right? So here's the problem. It can't just stop raining. Just like you can't walk out of the church. If it stops raining, everything's going to die. You walk out of the church, you're going to die, spiritually speaking. So what's the answer to God's question when I was standing in the pouring down rain and He said, and I'm looking around and it's just dumping rain and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, and it's only like 9:30 in the morning. Oh, and I forgot, I wear boots that are waterproof, 100% waterproof. But they get so saturated with the rain coming down because, see, the waterproof part is if you step in a puddle and your foot's in there for, not if they get drenched and you walk around in a creek all day. So it's 9:30 in the morning, and when I'm walking, it's like walking barefoot in a puddle of water all day long. It's terrible. So all this is happening, and I'm looking up, and I think, God, if it would just stop raining, why can't it rain tomorrow? I won't be out in the rain tomorrow. I'll be in a facility where it's undercover. Why did it have to rain today? Why don't you make it stop raining? It can't just stop raining. Just like you can't just walk out of the church. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. This was Paul at the end of his life. He knew that it was coming. He said, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. You leave a drink outside, you know, you've been outside and you'd been enjoying that drink. You know, grape juice, Coke, whatever, glass of wine. You know, you're out there and you leave it outside all night and you come back out there the next day and there it is. You're not going to drink it, right? You know what you're going to do with it? You're going to take it and you're going to walk over to the grass. It's going to pour it out like it was nothing. Paul said, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. That was his life. He realized at the end of his life that persecution was still coming upon him, that the pressure was still on, and he was dying, going to die because of his faith. Just poured right out. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. is at hand. He's talking about death. Verse 7, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have kept the faith. Verse 8, he says, finally there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all those who have loved His appearing. You see, with all that came upon Paul, it seemed to be nonstop. And so could you imagine if God would have come to Paul and He would have said, what can I do for you today? And he would have said, can you just give me a break? Can you give me some food to eat? Can you make this town stop beating me in the head and running me off when I go into the next town? Can you let them listen? Do you know what would happen after he left that town that God's grace was upon? What would happen? Be the same thing at the next place. They'd beat him in the head. If he got fed that day, he would go and it would be hungry the next day. Had I asked God to stop, make it raining, that very day, if it would have stopped raining, if I would have said, oh God in heaven, in the name of Jesus, please make it stop raining. And he said, gotcha. Immediately that day, the humidity would have followed. And that would have been probably worse than the rain. Even if no humidity would have come and it would have eased off and the cloud cover and the sun would have hidden behind and it was just a cool breeze that came. You know, because that's how rain is dried up. The wind blows and it causes the water to shift back and forth in those puddles and the sun comes and it all works together and it just dries it up. So even if it was a nice cool breeze that day, you know what would happen a couple days later? You already said it. Start raining again. So what would have been the answer to the question if God and you and your situation, whatever that is, whatever pain, whatever persecution, whatever wrong that has happened, that this just should not have happened today, and you say, God, take this away from me. And He says, fine. I will take it away from you. I'll take that thorn out of your flesh. I will take that problem that you have today. I will take it away. What happens in another year? You see, here's what the answer should have been. When He said, what do you want me to do for you today? Lord, help me weather this storm. Because I'm not going to stop. And you realize that if you rely on God to get you through today because you're in pain, you're angry, or you're sad, then the next time that you get yourself caught out in the rain, He'll also help you weather that day also. You can't walk out of the church because it's difficult. You can't ask God to make it stop raining. Everything would die. We just went over the things that are joyful when the rain comes. There's joyful things that happen in the church. There's joyful things that happen being a Christian. But then there's things that aren't. But my first response, I was standing in the pouring down rain and I was like, oh God, why won't you just make it stop raining today? And then it hit me. Rain tomorrow. I already knew on my weather app, these dumb weather apps that are less than 30% accurate. It's supposed to rain tomorrow. And that's when I realized that it would be more important for Him to get me through today and know that He could help me face tomorrow. Easy lesson, right? But my first thought was, Lord, just make it stop raining. You see, the mindset that we have in the flesh, that's why He said, for a morsel of food, a man will transgress. For a morsel of food. And I've said it before, you know, a man could get pretty hungry and he would deal with it. But he's not going to watch his wife. He's He's not going to watch his daughter or his son or those that he loves. He's not going to watch them suffer. He would take full responsibility and full punishment and go get them something as long as he could help them. That's our mindset when it comes to the flesh. We just want some sort of relief, right? We've got that relief. It's called forgiveness. No matter what happens to you today, no matter what happens to you tomorrow, as a Christian, you have hope. And that hope is not, I hope it's going to get better. That hope is a promise that one day Jesus will make it better. And right now, you're here for His glory. Because someone showed you that Christ was worth it. They didn't just come out to you and throw you a Bible. They didn't just bring you to church and tell you to watch the preacher as they did what they wanted to do. They sacrificed and they showed you that Jesus Christ was worth it. And that's what you're doing. There's going to be days that you're going to be in the rain, and there's going to be days that you're going to enjoy from the rain. But if you trust in the Lord to get through, I mean trust in Him to help you get through, you will get through. If you just want it over with, good luck. That's going to be a terrible mindset to fight the rest of your life. I'm not so sure. I haven't been there the majority of my life. Gosh, just let this get over with. I'm ready for tomorrow. Even though it might be different, even though it'll be something could be worse, it'll at least be different. It won't be the same old argument every day, day after day. Just be something different. I'm ready for it. You don't know how bad tomorrow can get because of how bad today is. But the Lord does. And so you ask Him when those storms come, you rely on Him to get through. And then no matter how bad it is, if it's hot, if it's raining, if it's cold, He'll get you through it because you trust in Him. Does that mean that you still won't be sad? Does that mean you still won't get wet from the rain? Of course you will. But as wet as I was that day and as wet as my boots were that day, you know what? They're all dry now. And I hadn't been at work for 2 days. So I'm reaping the benefits of what the rain brought. And now tomorrow I've got to go back out in the rain. And I'm not just talking about physical rain. I'm just talking about the world as a Christian. I have to go out and I have to face whatever it is that God is going to use to make me grow, to make you grow, and to witness to others. Right? That's what He does. He starts that off. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. And He says, that is a promise that He has made to you. There is no life without water. Every instance we see a new birth on a level that God has instituted, it has encompassed water. The birth of the new world, the birth of the first world. The nation of Israel was baptized through water. It was called the baptism of Moses. John baptized for remission of sin, preaching about the one that was to come. And the Holy Spirit that gives our bodies life came to us through that water. Sometimes that water is rough and sometimes it's not. I imagine that when Noah was on that boat and as it was raining and as those tides were rising and as I believe it being tossed about the way he was, but then when the rain subsided and the waters start to go down, that boat probably rocked ever so sweetly. And he could see the water levels. He could see the peaks of the mountains. He could see the tops of what was left of the trees. And he knew that it was all going to be over soon. But he trusted God to get him through it. And so when you give that gospel message, that invitation to people, they also have to trust the Lord through those words that what He says is going to happen is going to happen. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation today?